Did you know that before this ad is over, nearly 1 million people will have viewed pornography on the internet? Is there anything you can do to help those who are addicted to porn? Yes. Be Broken Ministries is holding its 6th annual Putts for Purity golf tournament to help raise money and awareness in the fight against porn and sex addiction. This is a great opportunity to help Be Broken better serve men and couples affected by sexual brokenness. The tournament is being held October 5th at Olympia Hills Golf Course starting at 8 a.m. To register or pledge a donation, visit puttsforpurity.com or call our ministry at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748 or puttsforpurity.com. You can make a difference in helping us fulfill our mission of healing sexual brokenness by God's grace, one story at a time. Visit puttsforpurity.com today.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm excited to share with you a talk that I did earlier this year that I gave to a group of moms, and these were moms of preschool kids, but it was still a topic all about how do you begin to train up your children and teach them about sexuality and their bodies. And it's just, we found this to be a really beneficial talk to moms, especially, so that they can understand kind of how to raise their kids with a proper understanding of sexuality from a biblical perspective and how to meet those challenges. I'm going to jump right into this talk where I'm sharing a bit of my story, and then it will go from there. Take a listen.
What porn started causing me to do, though, was live a divided life, meaning I had to make a choice, and we all have to make this choice, whether or not, kind of what Drew was talking about, whether or not we are going to be real about who we are, or whether or not we're going to start building an image of who we are that we present to others. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to want what we ultimately want at our core, which I believe is acceptance. I think at the core of who we are, we all want to be accepted. Somebody to embrace us and say, I know everything about you and I still want you. I think that's a core need of every human being. The problem is when we start building an image and we start saying, I'm going to present who I want other people to see, and they accept the image, it doesn't meet that core need. Because we know, well, they're only embracing the image. They're not actually accepting who I really am. And that's what I struggled with all throughout junior high and high school. And as this divide increased, I got into college and it got even worse, because now I crossed lines beyond pornography and now I was becoming sexual with girls. And that's the dirty little secret about lust, is that it's never satisfied, and it always demands that you cross lines that you said you never crossed before. And so then I got married at the end of college. That's when I met Elaine, and I thought she was going to solve my problems. This is what a lot of guys think. And listen, I'm not trying to downplay just how important you ladies are in, like, transforming a man, but it doesn't, like, make his problems with lust go away. At least it didn't for me. At least not past the first 5 weeks of marriage. I mean, hey, the first 5 weeks of marriage, I thought, marriage cures the lust problem. I don't have any problem at all whatsoever. I'm not looking at porn. I'm not doing anything stupid. And then, you know, week six came up, and it was like, huh, I married somebody quite a bit different from who I am. And as all those stressors started to come that are normal in marriage, I mean, hey, men and women are different to the very core of their being because that's why there's an X and a Y chromosome, like down to the very cells in our body, we're different. And so when we come together, there's going to be differences. But porn had always been my drug for dealing with stress. And so I just went back to it. But it got worse because this is the internet had just come out. And I guess I'm dating myself here, but the internet had just come out. This company called AOL, you know, had just come out. And so I got on the internet and I started getting hooked on porn again. And now things were getting much worse in my marriage. I was believing all of these lies that were really saying, listen, life is about me and my pleasure. And if anybody gets in my way, including my wife, it doesn't matter. I get what I want. And it even got to the point where then I started using the internet to set up anonymous sexual encounters offline. And so I started having all these multiple affairs. And then when I couldn't make an anonymous sexual encounter work, I crossed yet another line and began breaking the law and hiring prostitutes for sex. And so again, lust is this continual downward spiral. The longer things stay in the dark, the worse things get. Finally, in July of 99, I'd crossed the last line that my wife was willing to put up with, and she left. And that was the best thing that happened to me, even though it was the worst day of my life. Because that was the day that I was reminded by God that He'd been with me since I was 6 years old. That He never left me. He never forsook me. He never abandoned me. And it's like He was saying in that, He said, you know what? You have a choice here. I'm willing to go down this road of completely changing your life. But you have to make the choice if you're willing to do that with me. And that was the first day that I actually started my recovery. Believe it or not, the day that my wife left was the day that I got shook to my core and I realized that I'm destroying my life. And so I started the recovery process. Since then, God has done amazing things in our lives. 9 months after my wife left, our marriage was reconciled. And we've been back together for over 13 years now. We have two weddings, or two like marriage dates, wedding dates. Our first one was in 95. And then our second one was in 2000, April 8th of 2000. And so just to see what God has done in that, and the reason I want to share that with you is because I want you to see just a little bit of a picture of what can happen when porn sets a hook in a kid. And I'm not doing that to like send a shiver of panic up your spine, okay? But I do want to let you know how serious it is that for some, like me, when it sets that hook, it will have a deep impact on that child that can lead to a full-blown addiction. I'm not saying every kid that looks at porn is going to have an addiction, because here's what I want you to know. Your child will see pornography. Now, again, take a deep breath, okay? Because I think as parents, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to say, no, I am going to guarantee and make sure that my child is never exposed to porn. And here's the issue. You can only control what you can control. Your child is going to see pornography. But that doesn't need to scare you. You just need to be prepared for it. Now, hopefully they won't see pornography from you or from their dad. But that's a whole other issue, you know. But they are going to see porn at some point in time. For one thing, lots of just our just normal mainstream media is pornographic. So they may already be seeing porn. They're already getting influenced by certain things, shows, even games. We've had to really monitor our children's games that they're playing on the iPad and things like that because, fortunately, our kids, they all come to us to ask if they can even download something because we've got certain settings on there that require us to be part of that process. Well, you know, we'll look at some of these games, and at first blush, it looks like, oh, kind of a cool little game, putting these blocks together or whatever. Next thing you know, it's got these suggestive-looking characters, and, I mean, who makes cartoons that are like hourglass figures? I mean, it's just unbelievable kind of the stuff that they're watching. So your kids will see pornography, but if you're prepared for it, and if you know how to walk through that with them, and if you're creating an environment that is open to those kind of conversations, it doesn't have to be something that sends them into the dark and sends them into the kind of confusion that I had regarding my sexuality. Now, Don passed out a little sheet there that says, Raising Pure Kids in an Impure Culture. And I want to share with you some of the things that you're going to face in this culture regarding sexuality. And you know, it might seem odd that I'm talking to a group of moms of preschoolers, right? Because you might go, man, listen, my kids are 5 months old, 2 months old, a year old. And you might be thinking, this is the furthest thing from my mind that I've got to deal with. I thought the same thing. I've got a sixth grader, fifth grader, third grader. It's like all of a sudden, boom, I blinked. And now, you know, my daughter's wearing bras. And I'm going, what happened? I mean, how did this happen? You know, when did this happen? So it will happen much more quickly than you might anticipate as far as this process of getting to places where your kids are engaging things and having to deal with things that are very much about their sexuality. The average age of first exposure to porn is between 9 and 11 years old. Now, in our ministry is primarily to men who are sexually addicted and their wives, dealing with men and couples. And we have had men that have come to our ministry that as early as 4 and 5 years old, they were exposed to pornography. The age is getting younger and younger. In fact, it used to be about 10, 15 years ago, the average age was like 12 to 13 years old. It's already dropped to like 9 to 11. So this is not something that you can go, oh, you know what, when they hit 13 years, then we'll do the birds and the bees talking. No, you've got to be much more proactive than that to recognize that they're going to see porn earlier on than that. And again, do what you can to protect your kids, but realize they are going to see porn. You need to be prepared for it. The average age of seeking help with porn addiction is 35 years old. So this is what ends up happening. There's a 20-plus year growth from the time a kid sometimes is first exposed to porn, and if it's not dealt with, if they're not working through it, that child will spend the next 25 years of their life developing an eventual porn addiction. That's when the guys come to us, 35, 40, 50 years old, and they've had this problem for 20, 30, 40 years. And so the more, when you start putting those numbers together, you realize how much secrecy and hiddenness is a part of this problem. And that's why it's so important that you create an environment in your home that is saying any and every topic is open for discussion. This actually is going to mean that you're going to have to deal with your own discomfort regarding sexuality. And I often encourage parents, you're going to have to go on your own journey. If you really want to help your child to be able to engage the culture that is sexually drowning, you are going to have to deal with your own sexuality issues. If their father is struggling with pornography, if you are hooked on romance novels, if there's anything that you're doing that is basically you're jumping into that pool of what the culture is saying is sexually appropriate and healthy, then how can you then try to help your child grow up with any sense of sexual integrity? And so my wife and I, we've ultimately had to look in the mirror if we're going to help our children. And if we're going to create that environment that's open to all these conversations, we have to make sure that we don't like freak out when these conversations come up. Or more importantly, we have to be intentional about bringing these conversations up. Too many parents think that their child is going to tell them everything. Let me just promise you, that won't happen, especially as they get older. Maybe when they're 3, 4, 5, 7, whatever, you know, they have this sort of just blah, you know, they just kind of blurt everything out. But as they start getting older, as they start to change and their bodies start to change and their feelings start to change, there's going to be parts of them that they start tucking away. That's what I did, 12 years old. I saw porn. Man, I didn't know what to do. Kids take the path of least resistance. Kids are going to go with the flow a lot of times. It's actually a very rare thing for a child to be self-asserting. More than not, most children are followers. And so in that, they're just going to go the path of least resistance. So if your kid sees porn and it scares them when they're 12, maybe 10, whatever, there's maybe a 50-50 chance that they would actually offer up that information to you, because it can be a pretty overwhelming experience. That's why you have to have it on your mind. Oh yeah, I need to be bringing up the topic of sexuality. My son is 10 years old. He's turning 11 this month. And for the last year, every time I'm in the car with him or we're driving somewhere or doing something where it's just him and I talk to him about sexuality. I'll ask him, hey, have your friends shown you anything that's like, have they shown you any naked pictures of women or anything like that? And fortunately, to this point, he's like, no. But you'd be amazed that when you just have those conversations, that we often think that we're going to freak our kids out if we bring those topics up. We can have the most calm conversation that you can imagine. And I'm talking about things like porn. This month, actually, I'm going to introduce to him, we're going to talk to about the issue of masturbation. And I'm going to talk these things about him because it's a commonplace conversation and topic in our home. We talk about our bodies. We talk about our body parts. That's another thing that you can do. You can even start now to begin training your kids about healthy sexuality. When it's bath time, actually go ahead and start telling your children what their body parts are actually called. I've met guys that they were 15 years old before they knew what a penis was called. Because it was like a wee-wee or something like that. And listen, I get it, but here's what I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean to be offensive here, but a lot of that has to do with our own shame regarding sexuality, that we are afraid to just tell our children the truth about their bodies even. And so I'm going to encourage you really strongly to begin, even as they're little babies, as they're little kids, to start actually teaching them about their body. You don't have to go into conversations about sex. Good grief, you'll scare them to death. But they do need to know what their bodies are. And especially if you've got, like, we've got two girls and a boy. So there was a certain time when, hey, bath times became separate. About 5 years old, it was like, okay, Ethan, you're going to start taking your own bath by yourself. And we explained the issue of modesty and that, listen, the way your body is made. See, you've got this part, she's got that part. That's because God made you different for a reason. It's valuable. Your sexuality is to be treasured. And as you get older, that is ultimately meant to be a gift that you give to your spouse. And so we want to teach the treasure aspect of sexuality, not the cheap aspect that our culture teaches about sexuality. Another thing that you're going to find out is that when your kids, all of our kids, listen, they're not going to grow up without internet. I mean, my kids are amazed that there were no cell phones when I was in high school. I mean, they're just like amazed. They're like, how did you live? How did you make it? You know? I mean, for me, if you'd asked me what a cell phone was when I was high school, I said, I guess it's a phone that looks like an amoeba or something. I don't know. That'd be a cell phone, right? But our kids are all going to have this kind of media around them. And a lot of pornographers are flat out evil in the way that they are trying to trap children into becoming a lifelong consumer. Remember that first age, 9 to 11? First age, they get help for a porn addiction, 35. Pornographers say, I can get a 25-year customer if I get them hooked at an early age. And so what they will do is they will do this thing that they call cyber squatting. And that is they will constantly monitor web addresses that are commonly visited by young children. And if any of those web domains, the .coms, .nets, whatever, if any of those domains expire, they'll immediately snatch them up and create a pornographic website. Because then those kids will be going back to those websites and boom, they see porn. So that's why it's important that you are heavily involved in what's going on online. Now, as your kids get older, it's not like you're trying to be a cop. But again, it's about creating that atmosphere that's saying, we want to talk about these things. We want all of this to be open. Another thing is that 12% of websites are pornographic. So that's over 24 million websites that are pornographic. And I want to say something real quickly about like filters. I think filters are great. I think it's good to have a filter. I'm a bigger proponent of what they call software that does keystroke logging, which basically means it monitors everywhere you go online, and then others can look at your report. Like, for instance, I use Covenant Eyes. That's the software that I use on all of my devices. And what it does is it, now the setup that I have is actually means I could go anywhere I wanted on the internet. If I wanted to, I could get on my laptop at the office and I could look up porn. But guess who sees all those reports? My wife. So it's a more personal accountability, the keystroke logging, than simply a filter. Because a filter is just saying it's trying to block those pornographic websites. 24 million websites that are pornographic. And there's over 300,000 pornographic pages per day being added to the internet. Filters are great, but they cannot filter everything. And again, I always try to encourage people to think it's more of a heart issue than it is about whether or not you're seeing porn. Remember, your kids are going to see porn. What you want to try to help them with is that they don't get hooked on porn, that it does not become something that they are trapped by. And so if I know that I can look at porn anytime I want, a filter is not going to stop me doing that. My wife and I have had this conversation. There is no filter on the planet that could keep me from looking at porn if I want to look at porn. So it better be about my heart. It better be about what I'm doing in other areas of my life than simply saying, I got to have all of the avenues by which I could lust closed off. And I think that's something that's important to teach your kids too. It's more about their hearts than it is about having every single possibility of corruption being cut off from their life. Because guys, if we were going to do that, we'd have to live in a cave. You're going to come across things that have a potential to corrupt you and corrupt your children. And so rather than saying, we're going to close our eyes, we're going to stick our head in the sand and just hope that all this stuff goes away, instead, try to teach them it's about the heart. And what direction is their heart pointed? Are you training them to point their heart toward purity and toward what's right and toward what's good and healthy rather than where the culture points it, which is saying cheap thrills. Just get whatever you can at any cost. Now, I want to share with you a couple things that I think are helpful in being able to help your kids navigate this. One of the big things I think that you need to do, and this is along the lines of creating that environment at home where your kids can talk to you about anything, is I think we need to start helping our kids actually celebrate sexuality. And not the way the culture thinks about celebrating sexuality. I mean, for them, celebrating sexuality is like having a gay pride parade or something like that, or having women on a street corner that are, you know, for some PETA cause that have all their clothes off. I mean, that's like, no, that's not celebrating sexuality. That's cheapening sexuality. What we want to do, though, is we want to let our kids know that God actually made us sexual beings. And you know what I love to tell people? Do you know what the first command was that God gave to human beings? Have sex. I'm not kidding. You can look it up. Genesis chapter 2. The first command he gave was have sex. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Those are the first words out of the mouth of God to Adam and Eve. If that's the very first thing that he told Adam and Eve to do, I think it's pretty important. He put a big value on our sexuality. And so much so that he said, I've got a very special context in which I want it to be celebrated, enjoyed, pursued, and that's in the marriage relationship. And so we are raising our children to celebrate their sexuality, to protect it and celebrate it. And so I think that's a huge atmosphere that you can create with your kids, because unfortunately what they're going to get from the culture is it's cheap, it's dirty. Even though they're trying to say it's wonderful, it's free, do whatever you want, ultimately what they're doing is they're cheapening it. And they're devaluing that person to being nothing more than an object to be consumed. And that's what our culture is teaching about sexuality. We're a consumer culture, and we're saying that all of our bodies are just something for somebody else to consume. And so we don't want to teach that to our kids. At least I don't want to teach that to my kids. I want to teach my kids that modesty is important, But I want to also share with them why it's important. Because God made them a female or a male, and that together they can be something better than they are apart. And so I think also we need to think protect, not punish. Like I said, your kids are going to see porn. That will freak you out, right? It will scare you. You will think, oh my goodness, I mean, what am I going to do? And we get calls from parents a lot of times that are like, oh man, I just discovered my 14-year-old son's been looking at porn for a year. What do I do? Well, I've already locked him in his room and like without food for 5 weeks, but hey, what do I do now, you know? And we're like, let him out, give him some food, you know? Don't punish your children for making mistakes regarding their sexuality. You know, here's the thing. There is a huge difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline has a training aspect to it. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put some boundaries around my kids. We've got boundaries around the iPad. We've got some boundaries on certain things. We don't do that to punish them. We're actually doing that to protect them. And we actually explain that to our children. We don't just say, because I said so. It's like, no, let me tell you what's on the other side of that fence. That's one of the most important things that you can do with your kids, is not leave it to their imagination to try to guess what's on the other side of the fence. When parents try to shut down all of these avenues, meaning they're just creating this huge wall around their kids to say, and they think they're protecting them, I'm just going to create these huge walls around my kids, and they don't need to know anything that's on the other side of that fence. I mean, they don't need to know anything. You know what that actually does? It's the opposite effect. It creates more curiosity in those kids. Our family went to Silver Dollar City several years ago. We were up there doing a speaking engagement with some college students. And one day we had off, and so we went to Silver Dollar City, which is a theme park up there in Branson, Missouri. And we're at this theme park, and there's this whole section that they're redoing or they're upgrading. And it's got all these huge, like, privacy fences around it, wooden privacy fences. And there's this one section that has this hole in the privacy fence, and it has this thing that says, "Don't look here." There's a line of 25 kids looking through that hole. And that's what happens when parents say, boom, 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 I'm going to create all these walls around my kids, but not give them any explanation or tell them what's on the other side. You need to tell them what's on the other side. Don't think that because you tell them what's on the other side, that's actually going to make them want to go over there anymore. It's when you don't tell them that it creates more of a curiosity and actually creates a division in your relationship, because they're looking at you and saying, why didn't you tell me what was on the other side here? Why did I have to go to my friends? Why did I have to go to porn? Why did I have to go to my, you know, whatever, school in order to find out what's on the other side? And then finally, I think it's important to realize that you can only give to your kids what you have yourself. If you're expecting to try to train your kids in living a life of sexual integrity, and yet you are not pursuing a life of sexual integrity yourself, you're fooling yourself. I'm absolutely fooling myself if I think that I can go be looking at porn, that I can go be doing all these stupid sexual things, and then somehow turn to my son and say, son, you really need to be careful about what you look at, and you really need to be careful about what you do with your sexuality. That is hypocrisy. Now, I don't present myself as perfect to my son at all. In fact, I mean, I tell him all the time, man, listen, I make mistakes. I've been dumb. I've had to ask his forgiveness for times when I've blown up at him. And I actually think you gain more respect from your children when you're honest, certainly about your own weaknesses, but also when you are showing and modeling for them what a life of sexual integrity looks like. That, yeah, it's got ups and downs, and there are challenges, and there's always things in the culture that are going to come up. But when you're sitting there, and you're sitting on the couch, and y'all are watching a movie, and a scene comes up that just is inappropriate, and you go, oh, turn that off. And you're the one that clicks the remote, and you're the one that turns it off. You're showing your children. You're not simply just leaving it up to them. And so I think it's really important that we recognize we can only give what we have.
Well, folks, we hope that has been an encouraging broadcast for you today. If you've got questions or if you want to contact us about how you can really manage your own sexuality and begin to recover from any addictions you may have, please contact us today, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.